Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, October 29th, 2017. Pastor Paul Talbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And God's word for meditation is from Matthew, which is one of the Gospels. Gospel means good news. Sometimes we get so used to things that we forget the history from where they came. Gospel is good news, but how did that come about? It came about where the emperor, who called the shots in the days of Rome, he would go out and he'd go to the far, far lands. He'd send his messengers there, and he would say, "I have good news from the emperor." So people would know, we got to pay attention. There comes another rule from on top. We got to follow that through. Thank you, Josiah. Josiah just covered for me because I forgot to turn on the light. So what happens is, the good news, if you'd say, "I have good news, I have the gospel," then that would get people's attention. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is way different. It's not a new set of rules. It's what God says is actually good news. Guess what? You're in trouble. You can't get into my heaven. Every day, all you do is sin and sin and sin. So I have stepped into history and I did something for you. And not only that, I'm going to give it to you. And not only that, I'm going to make sure that it grows within you so that you can make it to be with me forever in heaven, never separated from me. That's the good news, that God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven us all sin. All of it. It's gone. You can argue with God all you want, but every last drop of blood that Jesus shed, he shed for you. And he shed for me, took away sin. That's good news. Something else you need to know right before I go into this is that in Jesus' day, the emperor, especially in the far-flung corners of his empire, expected people to bow down and worship him and pray to him. Kind of like what's going on in North Korea right now, in case you keep track of things politically, where their human ruler has elevated himself to a point where he says, "You know, you need to talk to me. There is no God anyway. We're a communist country, so you know there's no God. So you just talk to me, and I'll be your God." Yeah. Well, so when they come to Jesus with this trick question, they're putting Jesus in the crosshairs. In their mind, if Jesus answers one way, the government's going to get him. And take care of their problem with Jesus. If Jesus answers the other way, then the people are going to get Jesus, and they're going to turn away from him. And either way, there they are. They're going to be fine and dandy, and they'll be there to take up whatever pieces are left over because Jesus will be off the scene. That's how they are thinking. In fact, if you notice something, evil joins with evil. The Pharisees did not get along with the Herodians at all. And here they are, they're joined together because they hate Jesus. Amazing, isn't it? They hate Jesus, and Jesus has not done a single thing. He's only done good things, not bad things. But this is what happens. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to trap him by what he said. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you're truthful and teach truthfully the way of God. You defer to no one. You don't show partiality. Tell us, therefore, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Notice what happens. Evil is allowed to take the words of the human language and put it in, sounds like something sweet. He's being buttered up. They're trying to flatter Jesus as if the word of the living God in the flesh could be flattered. They're pretending like they don't know who he is, and yet they know who he is. They have seen him heal lepers, heal people blind from birth. They have seen Jesus. They heard about him walking on water, raising the dead. You can't keep those things quiet. So what are they going to do? Well, they are ignoring that and staying in the dark on purpose. As I tell the Bible history class and confirmation class, the Lord tells us light does not understand darkness. You cannot understand why do people want to be in the dark. Perceiving their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, hypocrites?" Again, see what Jesus is doing? He's using a question. He's getting them to try and understand what is making them tick, what is making them move. And then Jesus uses a word that we use a lot here in America. "Oh, you bunch of hypocrites. I just saw you the other day, and you lost your temper and you spewed out a bunch of junk out of your mouth when that guy cut in front of you as you're driving along, or when you missed that deer that you really wanted to hit, or whatever it was. You're just a hypocrite. I saw that other guy. That guy was drunk, and now he's in your church? What a hypocrite. Your church is full of a bunch of hypocrites." We use that word a lot. It's not right how we are using it. The word hypocrite means it's someone who is pretending to be a Christian. In other words, they're in church all the time. They're doing all the extra stuff at church. They're never late. They're never drunk. They're never doing any of those bad things that you see around. It's all a big show, but on the inside, they don't really believe it. But for some reason, they feel it's really important to keep up this big show. And so it's a big empty shell. So the only one who can tell if someone is a hypocrite or not is God. So Jesus is letting these guys know right from the get-go, "I'm God. Why are you testing me, hypocrites?" Did you know that in the entire New Testament, when Jesus says something about being hypocrites, he's the only one that uses that word? Do you know why? Because he's the only one who can see into our hearts and see, do I really believe who he is? Do I really believe what Jesus did for me? Do I really believe that God in his word keeps his promises for me? He's trying to reach him. "Show me the coin used for the tax." So they brought him a denarius. "And whose image and inscription is this?" he asked them. "Caesar's," they said to him. Shows him a coin. Pretty simple. Nice teaching tool. And of course, Caesar had his thing stamped on there. Sure enough, yep, fine. Jim Dandy, swell. "That's Caesar's image right there, sir." And so Jesus said, "You give back to Caesar what's Caesar's." And then he says this, "And to God, the things that are God's." Most of the time when we read this, we kind of get nervous because, oh man, he's saying I gotta pay taxes. Yes, he is. And he's saying I gotta pay taxes with a good attitude. Yes, he does. And we stop right there. But that's not where it stops. The question is, whose image do you bear? We're not coins, we're people. Whose image do you bear? If you're like me, you call yourself a Christian. You know what that means? A little Christ. But God began in me with the washing of water and holy baptism. He's kept alive with his word. And now I am a walking, living, breathing little picture of Christ. He says in the scriptures, imitate God. So when people look at you and how you interact with others, do they hear Christ's words coming out of your mouth as you interact with somebody? Do they see Christ's kindness in your actions? Do they see how Christ Jesus loved you so much that you cannot help but love people? And if you're like me, you find out that, well, sometimes it's not so clear cut, is it? Kind of fuzzy around the edges, not a very clear image. So what do you do? I ask myself, whose image do I bear? I bear the image of Jesus Christ, not because of me, but because God, in his incredible mercy, chose me. He chose me to be with him forever in heaven. To make that happen, he preserved his word and sacraments so that I receive the benefit of his phenomenal choice. And then he says, by the way, you're going to be living X number of years. I know how many they are. Don't worry. I got that all covered. I have it all planned out for you. But what I want you to do is be a little Christ and take this wonderful good news and share my word with as many people as you can, because I promise I will use my word to create faith in people's hearts, to encourage them, to build them up in their faith. And that's why we're still here. And that's why the Lord gathered us, because he wants us to know once more, our sins are forgiven. There are people who don't know that. And God, for Jesus' sake, says, be a little Christ this week. In his name, so let us live. Amen.